Great. I want to explain a little bit about baptism and what a baptism service is, you know, actually is. And hopefully it won't be quite like what you see on the picture there, where we're trying to baptize the cat. And you know, cats don't like water, at least most cats don't like water. What I want to do is I want to kind of go back about 2,000 years to some of the baptisms that we read about in the Bible. And what I want to do... Oops, sorry. Just put my remote control back together again. Could you go on to the next slide for me, please? Thanks. I want to go back to the day of Pentecost. Now, a little bit of history. So Jesus, at this time, he'd ascended into heaven. And a few days later, after he'd ascended into heaven, there was a great outpouring of the Holy Spirit. And this is called the day of Pentecost. Thanks, Ian. And on that day, Peter, who was one of Jesus' disciples, he did a mega preach. Okay, it was probably one of the most powerful preaches that Peter had done. And he, in his preach, he explained how Jesus, who was the Son of God, had come down from heaven to earth in order to deal with a problem called sin. Sin is a kind of a disease that every one of us is born with, and there's nothing we can do about it ourselves. But God can, and Jesus came and he tried to deal with sin. But the people at that time, the Jews, they rejected Jesus. And they didn't listen to his message, and Jesus was put to death on a cross. But Peter explained that Jesus was more powerful than death, and 3 days later, and we all know this from the Easter story, 3 days later, Jesus rose again, and he ascended into heaven, and he's seated with God now at his right hand. But Peter finishes his preach by saying this. He says, "So let it be clearly known by everyone in Israel that God made this Jesus whom you crucified." Remember, we're talking to the Jews who crucified him. "He made this Jesus who you crucified to be both Lord and Messiah." And then we read this verse here, which I've put up on the slides. It says, "Peter's words pierced their hearts. And they said to him and to the other apostles, 'Brothers, what should we do?' And Peter replied, 'Each of you must repent of your sins, turn to God, and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ to show that you have received forgiveness for your sins, and then you'll receive the gift of the Holy Spirit.'" That phrase, "their hearts were pierced." It's really important. They came under a conviction of the Holy Spirit. You see, being baptized is just one of several steps of becoming a Christian. And the very first step starts with something happening inside our hearts. And that's what we read about. Their hearts were pierced. And something happens inside our hearts to make us realize that we need God, that we have this condition called sin that we were born with and we can do nothing about, but by receiving Jesus into our lives, he can heal us and he can cleanse us and he can remove that sin. And that's how it starts. And then it moves us to a decision to repent and to turn away from our sin and to turn towards God, to live a life that pleases God. That's what repentance means. And then the next step is baptism. And that kind of seals that decision that we make. When we say, "God, you know, I want you," and then we get baptized, it's like a rubber stamp saying, "You're mine, you're mine." It's very different, incidentally. I should point out that, you know, what you're not going to experience today is a christening service. And, you know, I'm not going to hold Sally, Sue and Yvonne in my arms and sprinkle water over them. Or, you know, try to lift them above a font would probably be a challenge. But, you know, it's kind of funny, but actually what's really important here, the reason it's not a christening and the reason we don't baptize babies, which is, the phrase that people will use in christenings, is a baby can't have their heart pierced out of a conviction. They can't suddenly believe in Jesus. They can't repent of their sins, and they don't know how to live a life that pleases God. You see, baptism, just like becoming a Christian, is a step of faith. And that's why we only do this with adults, when adults come to an understanding about God and the things of God. You see, for Sally, Sue, and Becky, each one of them at some point in their life will have prayed a prayer something like, "Dear Lord Jesus, thank you for dying for my sin. I realize that I have sin in my life, and I realize I can do nothing about it. But God, will you come into my life? Will you forgive me, and will you make me whole? Will you cleanse me of sin? Today, I make you Lord of my life. Thank you, Jesus." Now, they may not have used those exact words, but that's the kind of prayer each one of them will have prayed to give their lives to Jesus. And a little bit later in the service, as I said, after the break, you know, we're going to be hearing exactly what their testimonies, their stories are about how they became a Christian. But what is this? What is the baptism that we do? Okay, this is not, it's working now, which is not surprising. Oh, it has worked. Okay, that's probably Helen did it. Well, the way we do baptisms is to totally immerse the person being baptized in water. And then, if they've paid their tithes and offerings, we bring them back up again. So I hope you're up to date. It's exactly how Jesus was baptized, and you know, we're following really, you know, the model of Jesus. But the word baptism itself is really interesting, you see, because the word baptism is from a Greek word called baptizo, and it means total immersion. And it was used usually in the context of dyeing material. And I want to give you a little illustration, okay? So I've got some stuff here prepared, and I've got some useful little helpers. So Dennis, if you'd like to come out and help us, we're going to have to put an apron on you, I think, because this could get... They all say don't work with animals and children, don't they? So I'm tempting fate now, but I think this is going to be really important. We haven't tested this, but I believe it will work. We'll see. What I want to illustrate is this thing about dyeing. Now, we're all probably familiar with dyeing, but I bet most of us have never, ever dyed a piece of cloth in our lives, have we? Hands up if you have never dyed anything, you know, ever dyed a piece of cloth. That's probably loads of us, isn't it? You know, we've never, you know, something we kind of know happens, but we've never actually ever done it ourselves. Okay, so let's get the gloves on. Okay, so what we have here... No, don't drop it, she's saying. Okay, there is a bowl of red dye. Okay, that's all that is. And also what we have, if you hold it, show everyone like a magician. This is a white cloth, a white handkerchief, okay? And what we're going to do is we're going to totally immerse this handkerchief in this dye. Okay, so put it in there, all the way in, squish it all around, make sure it's totally, totally immersed. Don't let any of it not be immersed. Squish it around. That's it. And then very carefully take the handkerchief out and then show everybody. Don't worry about going on the table. We can wipe the table. Okay. Look at that. Now then, you see, that is totally, totally, totally changed, okay? There's no white... Yeah, don't shake it about, okay? Don't shake it about. There is no white left on that cloth. It is totally changed. And folks, that's quite simply what baptism is all about. When you go into the water and totally immerse, and when you come back up again, you are totally changed. Why don't we give a round of applause for our wonderful helpers? Now, the reason we do this, the reason, we do total immersion, not least because the Bible tells us to do this, is because it also symbolizes something really important. It symbolizes death and resurrection. In Romans 6, It says that in our baptisms, we are identifying with the death and resurrection of Jesus. So in other words, when we go under the water, that's identifying with the death of Jesus. And when we come out of the water, we're identifying with the resurrection of Jesus. And the next verse will explain. Oh, you got it there. Good. And the next verse explains this really, really well. And I read this out of the message. It says, this is what happened in baptism. When we went under the water, we left the old country of sin behind. And when we came out of the water, we entered into a new country of grace, a new life in a new land. That's what baptism into the life of Jesus means. We are lowered into the water. It's like the burial of Jesus. And when we are raised up out of the water, it's like the resurrection of Jesus. Each of us raised into a light-filled world by our Father so that we can see where we're going in a new grace-sovereign country. And if you're wondering, well, you know, what on earth is the meaning of that picture to the side there? There's a really interesting kind of an analogy that you find in the Old Testament. See, in the Old Testament, many, many years ago, the children of Israel, the Israelites, had been held captive by the Egyptians for hundreds of years, and they had become slaves. But God set them free, and Moses was the leader at the time who set them free. And they got to the Red Sea, and it's like they were free, but they were not free, because, you know, the enemy, the Egyptians, were in hot pursuit. And so God opened up the way through the Red Sea, and the water stacked up either side. And the children of Israel, they went right through the Red Sea and out the other end. And when the Egyptians, the enemy, went pursuing after them, God closed up the waters and destroyed the enemy. And the Israelites were on the other side, and they were totally, totally free. And that analogy is just like what happens for Christians who get baptized. You know, the enemy is Satan, the powers of darkness, evil, whatever kind of phrase that you want to give, the kind of the opposing forces, if you like, to Jesus, to God. You know, they are always on our back. They're always trying to hold us down. They're always trying to make us do bad things. By being baptized, it's like, you know, it's like putting the old death, it's like putting the power of Satan to death in the water, and we come up and we are free and we are empowered by the Holy Spirit. You know, but it's really important that, you know, we don't just see baptism as something that's just natural, a physical thing, getting wet. You know, it is a real spiritual thing that we experience when getting baptized. The last thing I would just want to say is that, you know, Jesus got baptized. Now, the interesting thing with Jesus, Jesus didn't have any sin to repent of. He'd not done anything wrong. So you might have thought to say, well, you know, why did Jesus need to get baptized? He didn't have an old self to put to death and to rise up, you know, empowered, because he was the Son of God. Why did Jesus get baptized? Well, Jesus got baptized because he wanted to submit his life to God, his Father. It was just after Jesus got baptized that he then started his ministry and started preaching the gospel and healing people. He submitted his life to God. And the beautiful thing about Jesus' baptism is when Jesus came out of the water, the heavens opened and there was this booming voice of his wonderful Father said, "This is my Son, and I'm really, really, really pleased with him. I'm proud of him." I don't know what kind of words he might have been feeling, but the pleasure that God the Father felt when his Son submitted himself to his Father and he came up of that water, it was just amazing. And I know from my own personal experience, and I bet if I was to ask any person here who's been baptized as an adult, when you get baptized, when you come out of that water, you feel the pleasure of God. It's amazing. And it's not something you can really explain in the natural. It is just wonderful. And I believe with all my heart that what we experience when we come out of the waters of baptism, it's like God opening up the heavens and calling down and saying, "This is my beautiful daughter, Sally. This is my beautiful daughter, Sue. This is my beautiful daughter, Becky. And you know what? I am so proud and pleased with them because they're giving and submitting their lives to me and the purposes that I've set out for them." And they feel that amazing, amazing pleasure from God. So finally, as I said, you know, baptism is just one of many steps to becoming a Christian. Ultimately, it's about faith. Faith is believing in God. Faith is putting your trust in things that maybe you don't fully understand, or putting your trust in things that you can't see. But you believe in God, and you trust in God. And it's a journey that all Christians take. And it doesn't end with baptism. Our entire lives as a Christian is a life of walking by faith, many steps after many steps. But today, baptism is a really, really, really important step. For sure, it is certainly a physical getting wet. But spiritually, baptism is so, so much more than just that. And I hope that, you know, when you see the actual baptisms later on, you'll get a sense of what is happening around you spiritually, because God will really be owning that moment together. Praise God. Okay, well, we got to a really important part. Well, it's all important, really, but this is the part that where it gets really personal, because I've asked each of the three who are being baptized today to come and share their testimonies. And Sally, in a moment, Sally's going to be first because she's so nervous she wants to get it over and done with. I don't know who's going to go after that, but we'll work that out along the way. So, but I want people to feel, or rather, I want the individuals, Sally, Sue, and Becky, to feel really sort of supported and loved. So when I call them out, I want you to give a rousing applause. And if I don't think it's loud enough, I will send the person back to their seat. I will do it again. Okay, so first up, Sally. Let's give Sally a good... Woo! Yeah. Woo!
Oh, dear. Okay. Hi, everyone. Okay. So I've opted to go first, as I think I'm the most nervous. And for all those who know me, know that it's just not me speaking in front of people. So for my testimony, I've written it and rewritten it, practiced it many times, had many sleepless nights, and finally today is here. So I make no apologies that I will be probably reading it word for word. But I was very encouraged this morning that in my reading, I read the verse from 1 Chronicles 28:20, and it said, "Be strong and courageous. Don't be afraid or discouraged, for the Lord God is with you. He will not fail you or forsake you." And I really needed to hear that again this morning. Firstly, I would like to thank all my family, especially my sister from Australia, and all my... and all my friends for coming to share this special day with me. I know a lot of you don't share or understand my faith, but you know what it means to me, and I really appreciate that you've come here to support me in something that's so important to me. So here goes. I was brought up in a Christian family. My parents are Methodists, and took myself, my sister, and two brothers to Sunday school every week. I want to thank both my parents who are here today for my background in my Christian faith and for the examples they have set me throughout my life. And a scripture comes to mind, Proverbs 22:6. Direct your children onto the right path, and when they are older, they will not leave it. After I got married, we had our three children, and I started to attend the Methodist church in which I was brought up in. But at that time, I think I was just taking the children along each week for their teaching. I started attending a mum's group, a Val Lamont's group. House, who's here today, thank you, Val. And we studied parts of the Bible, and we were able to ask many questions and get down to our earth answers. And it's here my faith began to grow. Dave and I decided not to have our children christened as babies, as we didn't feel able to make the promises before God, as at this time I wouldn't have considered myself a Christian. I moved to Woodland Church about 15 years ago, and slowly each week my faith began to grow through the teaching, the worship, and the testimonies. There were many baptisms at Woodlands, and I would always be very moved by them, but always thought that as I had been christened as a baby, I didn't have to be baptized as an adult. In November, over 2 years ago, I moved to this church, New Life Church Bristol, where I immediately felt so very welcomed. It's small, intimate, the worship is amazing, and the teaching is challenging and Bible-based. Since being here, my faith has really grown, and it has brought me to the point today where I'm getting baptized. So, why at my age get baptized now? As I have matured in my Christian faith, I believe it is an instruction from God for all who believe, and it shows my obedience to God, and it declares my faith. A book I have read by Rick Warren, entitled What on Earth Am I Here For?, says that baptism is not an optional ritual to be delayed or postponed. It signifies your inclusion in God's family and publicly announces that you're not ashamed to be part of God's family. So with God in my life, I'm not afraid of anything or any challenges that I may come across, as I know that God will always be with me in the good times and the difficult times. God gives me the strength for every day and gives me hope for tomorrow. He will never leave me or forsake me. No matter what happens in life, God is with us and is enough. Faith in God through Jesus Christ brings great peace and comfort, even when all things around seem to be crumbling. The burning desire in Paul's life was to be well pleasing to Christ. And Lord, today I make that my desire. In your hands I place my life. When I stand before God and finally look into Jesus' eyes, I want my life to have become a thing of beauty. Not because I got it all right, but because with all my heart, I trusted God. And Lord, today I surrender every area of my life to you, so you would fill me to overflowing with your Spirit in every way. I just want to finish with two of my favourite Bible scriptures. Psalm 139, 23, 24. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. Point out anything to me that offends you, and lead me along the path of everlasting life. And Colossians 2, 7. Let your roots grow down into Christ and draw up nourishment from him. See that you go on growing in the Lord and become strong and vigorous in the truth. I pray that I will serve the Lord with all my heart, my strength, and mind. And a life lived for Christ is the best inheritance that we can leave for our children. So today I'm delighted to be sharing this special occasion with Bex and my friend Sue. And I just want to thank everyone who has been part of my Christian journey, my parents, my family, my friends, Badminton Road Methodist Church, Woodlands, and finally to New Life Church for planting the church just up the road and for making my baptism possible today.
Wow, didn't she do well? You can breathe a sigh of relief now, Sally. There you go. Only the baptism left. Who praise God? Who's going next? Sue or Becky? Sue. Okay, come on, Sue. Let's give Sue a round of applause. Come on. Yay! Woo!
No sheets of paper for me. I've got books. No, I'm only kidding. These are props. Okay. Well, hi, everybody. Lovely to see my friends. Thank you, family, for supporting me and coming. And just new life. Thank you. Right. All this week, Matt Redman's been singing to me. Your Grace Finds Me. He couldn't come today.
I'm really sorry.
But what a team. What a wonderful worship team we've got. It's been brilliant this morning, so just as good. My walk with God begins really how a lot of my generation began. I was christened, and I think that really was the only time that my parents took me to church. They were beautiful people, God-fearing, wonderful, but not churchgoers. So I used to trot off to Sunday school with my sisters, three girls trotting off, and we had a great time. We had wonderful Bible stories, and it was a wonderful, happy place to be. So I loved it. Next came Bible class, a bit more serious, and then confirmation. And I think then, the teenage years, where I wandered off and I did my own thing. I believed in God, but God wasn't in my life, not my day-to-day life. I've got two books that were given to me. The first one is my Good News Bible, which was given to me many years ago by a colleague of mine called Joanne. Now, Joanne was one of the two people who influenced my life and influenced my journey with God. And it was Joanne who invited me to her church in Hannam, a Baptist church, and she drew me back onto the path that I'm now on today. And many times when things were tough with life and with work, she'd just tell me to trust in God and just believe and have faith. And after that came the blessings. My marriage to John, two beautiful daughters, two church families, Badminton Road, where I went with Sally, and Woodies, Yvonne, Denise. And I think these two families at the time were a most wonderful support for me through my illness, and also, more important, the deaths of my parents and my sister. Terrible times. And I think if I hadn't have had my faith, I would have struggled immensely. Yes, Jesus is a prop, but he's not a prop that falls away. He's there continuously, holding you up. I mean, you have family, but you have your God. The second book, given to me by Sally, my friend, encompasses my most favourite Psalm 23. And that's been with me all my life. You know, I learnt that at Bible school. And it's just something that you draw on all the time. Whatever version, whether you sing it, whether you pray it, whether you say it, whether you dip in and out of it, it holds everything. And it tells a wonderful story of the Good Shepherd. And two verses from there would be really relevant to me. From the Good News Bible, even if I go through the deepest darkness, I will not be afraid, Lord, for you are with me. And that's really, really important. And I know that your goodness and love will be with me all my life, and your house will be my home as long as I live. Now, it's my baptism my time, and my time to thank God for his many blessings, husband, daughters, son-in-law, yay, here supporting me today, good friends, and New Life Church family. And to be able to reaffirm my Christian faith, to be obedient, and hopefully a better person. And my prayer today is, Lord Jesus, I place my trust in you, and I accept you as my personal Saviour. Amen. Amen.
Praise God. That was excellent, Sue. Well, last but by no means least, and I want the loudest of all applause, because she's young and she needs encouraging. Let's welcome Becky.
Hello. So, if you know me, I really like my IT and my technology, so I thought I'd put together a little visual testimony. So, it's not very great. It's just got a few pictures to go alongside what I'm about to say. But anyway. So, growing up, I went to Woodlands Church from an early age with my mum, and I was really blessed there, and I always knew about God and Jesus when I was growing up. But I was always given the choice to come along, like my sister and my brother was. But I think, unlike them, I just really loved going, and I loved learning about the stories of Jesus in the Bible. So I started to go on Scripture Union Christian holiday camps every year in my early teenage years. And these Christian camps were fantastic. I was surrounded by leaders and friends who were seeking God. It inspired me and encouraged me to start seeking God really and truly for myself. I started to read my Bible and start to pray on these camps. And on one of these first holiday camps, when I was 14, at the end of the week, in a worship session, they asked us whether we wanted to have a personal relationship with God our Father. They said it was just as easy as this. You could just say a prayer from an honest and repentant heart, so that they started a prayer of repentance and of commitment, and that we could also say it. And that's what I did when I was 14. I would love to say that from then on, my life was all dandy, and I turned from my old ways of sin, and I was really lovely to my parents, and my attitudes, you know, improved. But actually, I really felt God challenged me in a large way. I felt him say to me, "Will you commit fully to me, or just half-heartedly? I want your all, and I want your full obedience." And so that's when I chose to submit and surrender my heart to him wholeheartedly. Many aspects of my life changed after that time. I came much closer to God. I started a scrapbook, lots of Bible verses. And for me, this was an act of worship as I glorified God through my drawings and my writings. I realized the importance of the Sabbath and requested my manager to refrain from putting me on a Sunday of work if possible. I started to glorify God in my sport and my physical abilities and exalt him, and realized that it wasn't through my own strength that I could achieve these things. I started to affirm myself with the abundance of promises that the Bible and the scriptures state, that I am a child of God. I am his ambassador to carry the good news. I am forgiven and I am redeemed by the blood that Jesus shed on the cross. I started to care about the bigger issues in life, especially homelessness and adoption of children. My heart started to go out to these issues that are happening all around us, even in this city. And something was stirring in me then, and it still is now. Through everyone's last year of A-levels, they were getting prepared for interviews and the excitement of a new city, and a new experience was dawning on all of them. But I really had nothing, genuinely. Everybody was asking me, and I was just getting stressed because I didn't know. Everybody knew. And I really didn't know what direction to go into, because I didn't know what degree I wanted to do. I didn't know what apprenticeship. Just didn't know. But I didn't want to dive into something aimlessly just because it was the done thing to do after sixth form. I really wanted to go travelling. I've been really blessed growing up, thanks to my mum and dad, that I've been to so many of places. And I think that's where my love for travel has just accumulated from. So I decided to take a gap year. So my friend Emma, who's here today, invited me earlier that year on a trip to Romania, and I was really up for it. We went that summer and we teamed up with Romanian leaders to run two Christian holiday clubs in very remote areas and deprived as well. We built relationships with the local children whilst running the programme, which included sports, crafts and Bible stories through the use of drama. It was quite challenging due to the language barrier, but our reliance on God overcame this as we were able to continue with faith and work around this. Straight after this, I planned to a trip around Europe with Interrailing with one of my other friends, Annie. We travelled around Italy, France and Spain, and this just heightened my sense of travelling, experiencing new cultures and, of course, tasting new foods. After these trips, I had a gap year in front of me with nothing set in place apart from some work to get some money. I really wanted to continue working with people and children similar to Romania. In my gap year, I decided to journey to Tanzania alongside my lovely accountability partner, Georgie. Only knowing one another for just half a year before we set off together and me joining the church, we could just click straight away. I'm so thankful for Georgie, and she is such a blessing to me. Staying there for 3 months, I had a wonderful opportunity to get involved and serve in whatever way I could. I was at two amazing projects, teaching and educating children, and also serving alongside the mamas at the orphanage in the afternoons. Working with the children there at Newlands, which is one of the poorest places I've visited before, blessed me in many ways. Working with the... Their welcome to us was in abundance and their faith was so incredible. They loved to talk to us, give in selfless ways out of the little they had, and especially touch my head too. They thought I was a typical Tanzanian. I was falling in love with Africa and its beauty, not just the environment, but actually the people too. From this opportunity to travel, I really felt God grounded in me what I wanted to do in the future. I want to grow in my relationship with him and become completely reliant upon his provision, like the Africans I encountered. Before going to Tanzania, I was involved in an unequally yoked relationship with a non-Christian. I knew God was pulling me out of it, and this was really, really difficult. But I was being obedient to him and his word, but it felt like the hardest decision, and it was just a week before going to Tanzania. Now I'm out of that desert time, I can look back and say, God, you are faithful. You never abandoned me, not once. I had to remember, even in that really dark time, what God had told me in the light. I had to cling to those hundreds of Bible scriptures that I was affirming myself with a couple of years back. And my mum and dad were a massive support to me in that time. And they were affirming me, even though I was thousands of miles away. I just knew deep down that God was calling me to serve him wholeheartedly again and not slip away. So during my gap year, I had applied and got places for a geography degree at different universities. But after returning from Tanzania, this was not on my agenda whatsoever. I started looking at the possibility of going back to Tanzania. But after speaking to Linda from church and hearing about her and John's education at All Nations, I started looking into it because Mum said it looked good, especially if in the future I wanted to work with a mission organisation and travel to faraway countries. In all honesty, this looks beautiful. It is beautiful. In all honesty, I first thought to my mum, that sounds really boring. I'm really not feeling academic anymore, and Bible school is for scholars, and I'm certainly not scholarly. Anyway, after really praying about it and speaking to the college on the phone and watching all the videos, the course looked really apt and perfect for what I wanted to do in the future, to go and spread God's word. So I do a 3-year BA honours degree in Biblical and Intercultural Studies. And so I spent 2 terms out at All Nations, and it's just been fantastic. I've met people from all across the world. There's 27 nationalities there, and I'm so thankful for all my friends, many who are here today. I'm learning about different cultures and how to communicate with them. I'm seeing where mission started from Genesis in the Old Testament all the way through to the New Testament and how prominent it is throughout the Bible. I'm learning to have such a love for reading God's word and also to give my time to serve the college with the chores that we all do. But most of all, I'm learning to have a heart filled with joy, a heart filled with love, and a heart full of obedience to God. Every time I called to God in the past, he was there. He was a place I could come back to time and time again, no matter how badly I messed up. He just embraced me again and again and loved me. Getting baptized is something me and my mum have wanted to do for a year or so now. And we have come to understand that it's something that God requires you to do. Just like a ring shows that your marriage is a public thing, a baptism is the way to publicly say that I believe in the death, the burial, and resurrection of Jesus, and that I have put my trust in him. And this last Bible verse sums up everything for me. Romans 6, verse 4, which I think Rich said earlier. That's what baptism into the life of Jesus means. When we are lowered into the water, it is like the burial of Jesus. And when we are raised up out of the water, it is like the resurrection of Jesus. Each of us is raised into a light-filled world by our Father so that we can see where we're going. So the Messiah has invited us all into life, a life that goes on and on without end. And I'm going to take that offer up today. Thank you.
Wow, that was excellent, wasn't it? It was just amazing testimonies. Well, I just want to wrap up now the meeting. I won't be long at all. I just want to share just two scriptures with you. Get them up. Now, I don't know how, you know, what you've made of this morning. You know, you might be sitting there just baffled. You know, thinking, what are these people on? You know, what do they eat for breakfast? You know, this stuff is just, you know, it just does not make sense at all. Well, you know, the Bible has answers about everything, and it can even answer that question. And the scripture you see there is, in 1 Corinthians 18, says this, I know very well how foolish it sounds to those who are lost when they hear that Jesus died to save them. But we who are saved, we recognize this message as the very power of God. You see, it doesn't make sense, actually. You know, in the natural, thinking about it, and, you know, using logic and all that, I mean, it's bonkers, isn't it? It doesn't make sense at all. But those who receive Jesus into their lives, suddenly your eyes are open and it does make sense. A friend of mine many years ago, all his family were Christians apart from him, and he had so many questions, and he just wanted to know the answer. I can't commit because I've got to know the answers to all these questions. And eventually I sat him down in my car and said, listen, you're not going to get all the answers to your questions. And I read this verse to him. I said, it's not until you give your life to Jesus will you then start to understand what it's all about. You have to do that first. You don't understand it first. And in the caravan, I prayed with him and he gave his life to Jesus. Now the whole family loves God and he's going on great. You know, it doesn't make sense. You're right. But to those who, you know, like Sally, Sue and Becky, it makes sense to them. It makes sense to me. It starts with an act of faith. And the next scripture, and this one you've got on your little sheets, and if you didn't get a sheet, then just there's probably enough, you know, to go around if just ask somebody. This is a beautiful verse. It says in Ecclesiastes 3:11, it says, God has made everything beautiful for its own time. He's planted eternity in the human heart. But even so, people still can't see the whole scope of God's work from the end to the beginning. You see, whether you actually understand, you know, or not what's happened this morning, God has put something in every human heart. You know, it's eternity. And you may not realize it, but there's a gap, there's a hunger, there's a search that goes on within each one of us. And, you know, often we fill it with relationships, we fill it with money, we fill it with success, you know, we pursue this, that, and the other. You know, always trying to fill that gap. I remember when Peter Sellers died, you know, the famous actor, you know, Clouseau. When he died, somebody said of Peter Sellers, you know, he was always searching for something, but he never seemed to find it. He just didn't find it. I believed he was searching for something that, you know, there was a gap in his life, and that gap was the eternity that God had placed in his heart and he's placed in every single one of us. And you may not understand it, you know, you may look at all of this and think, oh, this is just mad. But still, there's something going inside of you. You know, you didn't figure it out. But that's eternity that God has placed in your heart. And nothing, I'm telling you, nothing will ever fill that gap. but Jesus Christ. He's the only way. He's the only thing that ultimately will fill that thing, because God created us in his image. He created us to have a relationship with him. And so when we don't have a relationship with him, there is a hunger inside of each one of us. Look, if you want to know more about Jesus, if you want to know more about becoming a Christian, just come and chat to me, or chat to anybody, chat to Sue, Sally, Becky. But don't leave it. You know, ask somebody, you know, I want to know more. We're going to finish with one song, and then we're going to shoot off to Barley Close School. There'll be a lot of activity going on here.
We come to the actual baptism. As I explained, we're going to immerse them totally in the water, completely. That's what baptism means. And we're identifying with the death of Jesus. And when we bring them back up again, they identify with the life of Jesus. And I know they're going to feel absolutely fantastic. It's like God the Father, when he looked down and he saw his son being baptized and was so pleased, they're going to feel the pleasure of God. So we're going to do it. The order we're going to do them in is we're going to do Becky first, then Sally, and then Sue. And all I'm going to do is I'm going to ask them a simple question. Do they believe in the Lord Jesus Christ as their own personal Saviour? And if you've got it right, they're going to say, yes, they do. I've never yet had somebody say, no, I don't. And I'll be scratching my head to figure out what I do next. But I know that they do love Jesus. And their testimony, I know, will have borne to that fact. And you'd have identified with that this morning. And once they've done that, we're going to baptise them. Then we baptise them in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And down they'll go, and they'll come up. Now, we had a bit of practice this morning with applause, and you did pretty well. But I have a feeling, actually, you can do much, much better, especially in a room like this, which is big and echoey, okay? So when they come out of the water, I want the most phenomenal applause possible as they come out. And then I'm going to pray over them, and then I'll go and we'll do the next one. If you have a word for them, a card, or you want to pray over them, we'll do that afterwards. Otherwise, we're standing in the water, they're going to get cold and just delay things. So we'll do that afterwards. So Becky, come and join me. So Becky asked, you heard Becky's testimony, how her and Georgie went off to Tanzania. Become really close friends, and Becky asked if Georgie could baptise. So you put your hands together like that. That's good. We'll hold you back like this. So Becky, do you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ as your own personal saviour?
Yes, I do.
Yes, she does. So because of the testimony of your faith, I'm going to baptise you now in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Father, I just thank you for Becky. I thank you for the life and the fun and enthusiasm she brings to all those around her. I thank you, Lord, for the call that you have upon her life and that sense of urgency and for mission and for going abroad and just telling everybody about Jesus. Lord, I pray in Jesus' name that this baptism that she's experienced this morning will live for her throughout her life. And it'll be a source of strength and testimony to her. Lord, may you strongly be upon her. Holy Spirit, fill her afresh, Lord, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Now, you would have heard in all three testimonies this strange place called Woodies. Yeah? And what is this Woodies? Well, I'm really thrilled that Dave Mitchell, who's the pastor of Woodlands Church, is here, who sowed so much of the life of God into Sally Sue and Becky. Why don't we give Dave a warm welcome? Thrilled that we've been part of that same journey, and it's lovely that we're just around the corner from Sally's home. So and Sally, you did so well with your testimony, so I'm going to ask you the same question. Sally, do you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ as your own personal saviour?
Yes, I do.
You do. So because of the testimony of your faith, I'm going to baptise you now in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit.
It's a new, fresh start for her, for the future, Lord. And I pray every blessing on her. In Jesus' name.
Amen. So, folks, this is going to be the last one. It's going to be your last chance to really show how loud an applause you can make, okay? So this time, I want this to be louder than anything we've done before, okay? So let's just a little climb up.
No, it's
So Sue! Isn't she great? You're really looking forward to this, aren't you? You are. Sue, do you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ as your own personal saviour?
Yes, I do.
Do. Because of the confession of your faith, I have pleasure in baptizing you now in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. I thank you, Lord. You know, she's bubbling here, in, you know, so full of life, so full of excitement, so full of joy, Lord, because that's how she feels about you. But Lord, that's how you feel for her. Lord, you love her and you're so pleased with her and what she's done today. And Father, I pray that you will bless her, that you will keep her, Lord, that your face will shine upon her, Father. May you protect her and live with her and walk by her, Father. I pray by your Holy Spirit you will fill her and empower her. And Lord, I just pray in Jesus' name that today will have such a lasting effect on her walk with you. Lord, bless her, I pray, in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Okay, well, folks, that's it in terms of baptism. We do have lunch, so please feel